To Shattering Myths, it is my pleasure to welcome IQ Al-Rasuli back to the program. IQ has written a series of books called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. His books can be purchased at Amazon.com. You can also consider Al-Rasuli's writings by going to alrasuli.com, two S's, two O's, and Rasuli. IQ, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. You know, the today we're going to talk about jihad and Islam. We were originally going to do it for because CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, is beginning an ad campaign to convey the idea that jihad has nothing to do with fighting, that jihad is simply a personal struggle. So they'll say, you know, that they'll have a spokesperson, a little cute little girl, say, my jihad is to, you know, do my homework in a more timely fashion. And someone else will say, my jihad is to get along better with my neighbor down the street. So we're going to speak about what the Quran and Hadith have to say about fighting. But as a backdrop, just because of the news of the day, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention three very significant items in the news. One of those three is that today the BBC has learned that 100 people were burned alive in their homes in Syria, and that it appears that the perpetrators of this massacre of burning human beings, women and children, alive in their homes were the very rebels that America and the West are providing arms to. These fundamentalist Muslim jihadists and mujahideen burned 100 people alive in their homes. Second, we have the French intervening in Mali because the fundamentalist Muslims, the Islamists, as they are called, have taken over more than half of the country, and they are now in the attempting to take over the entire country to impose Sharia law. And as they have captured areas, they have routinely mutilated women and children, amputating arms and legs, raping them. It has been amongst the most ghoulish behavior ever witnessed in humankind. And lastly, day before yesterday, of course, the Islamist from Algeria and from Libya met, and they took hundreds of people hostage at a gas refining facility in right along the Algerian Libyan border. Screaming Allahu Akbar, they told the Muslims who were there that we'll free you because all we want to do is to kill the infidels and to liberate you from their infestation. So in that backdrop, IQ, I'd like you to share what jihad represents in Islam and how prevalent the theme of fighting is in Islam.
Can I say one thing before that?
Oh, absolutely.
Can we take care to court? I would love to take care to court. Could anybody in America take them to court for deception and un-American activities? I can prove what I'm saying within less than 1 hour. To speak about jihad as spiritual, CARE has always attacked anybody who knew anything about Islam. Whether right. It was myself, it was Wafa Sultan, Walid Shubat, Robert Spencer, or anybody. We know what we are talking about. Some of us were born in Arab countries, speaking Arabic, knowing the Quran fully, and we know what we are. Why isn't anybody in the United States not taking care to court? I can't understand that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, because you're free to lie in America. Deception is not illegal in America. And so it is extraordinarily easy for CARE to misrepresent. But the other issue is that CARE is very well funded. And because the Council on American Islamic Relations is so well funded, they're able to influence politicians. They're able to influence the media. And they are extraordinarily effective at deceiving on behalf of the religion of Islam. But you can't take someone to court for lying. Now, it's interesting. I had the opportunity right after I wrote Prophet of Doom to debate the chairman of CARE. And I mean, I don't like debates because typically the audience doesn't know enough to know when when one person is lying and the other is telling the truth. But nonetheless, this was the most one-sided debate I was ever in. And then I was scheduled to debate with him again at a public forum that was hosted by a national radio show. And it was in Iowa, I think, is where this debate was coordinated. And the CARE representative didn't show. And it was amazing to see how CARE, though, put out their people in a non-debate format, where they then went to the media to deceive. But the fact of the matter is that that as a public figure, those of us who speak out against Islam have no redress in terms of the slander that is perpetrated by CARE, because the American legal system does not permit those who have made themselves public by denouncing anything to sue for slander or libel.
But they are denouncing everybody. They're denouncing Pamela Geller. They're too far to court.
Yeah.
So why can't she take them to court? I'm sorry, I'm digressing. But
yeah.
I find it offensive. It really is offensive that CARE.
Yes.
And the most anti-American,
yeah,
the most un-American organization in the United States of America can get away with mass murder. And I call it mass murder. Jihad is mass murder. Now
yeah,
I'm getting excited. Ladies and
yeah,
gentlemen,
yeah, it is mass murder.
And Arabs often inform us that jihad means spiritual struggle. The question is this true? The word jihad in the Arabic language, my language, has its root in jahada, which does mean struggle in diverse tribe. Unfortunately, those who explain it in spiritual terms are deliberately deceiving and misleading the public about its actual meaning, based entirely upon the Arabic language of the context of the Quran and Hadith. In innumerable verses in Muhammad's Quran and Hadith, jihad means only one thing: physical warfare in the cause of Allah, which in Arabic it says, jihad fi sabilillah. Most human beings, whether followers of Muhammad or not, do not know that Muhammad unilaterally declared total and eternal war 1,400 years ago against all unsuspecting human beings who do not believe as he does. Just to make sure that our listeners appreciate the magnitude and anger of what I'm stating. Unbelievers today represent 80% of humanity. All Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, atheists, agnostics, etc. Anyone who's not a Mohammedan Muslim. Furthermore, contrary to all the falsified assertions by politically correct Westerners and aided and abetted by Muslims who have every reason to hide the truth, jihad is most definitely not a spiritual struggle for excellence, but a continuous war against all so-called unbelievers until all humanity is either converted to Mohammedan Islam, is subservient to it, or is exterminated. In fact, among Muslim scholars, jihad represents the unwritten sixth pillar of Muhammadan Islam. Back to you, sir.
Yeah, the reality is that of every time that jihad is used in the Quran, it is never used in the context of a struggle other than fighting with weapons with the express purpose of killing. Is that a true statement?
It's absolutely true, because qital with part, qital is fighting, warfare, as part and parcel of jihad, is mentioned 33,000 times in Quran and in Hadith. 33,000 times, to fight, to kill.
Yes, and I am only aware of one time in the entirety of the Hadith that that jihad is mentioned in a way that could be considered a spiritual struggle. Of the 30,000 times, there's only one of the 30,000 where there is a reference to a spiritual struggle, and even that one is fairly balanced in the sense that, as if I can recall correctly, Aisha, which was the young child that Muhammad molested when he was 50 years old and she was 6, was talking about, you know, because Muhammad kept on glorifying jihad fighting, and Aisha once said, us women folk could participate in jihad since there's supposed to be so many rewards in paradise, plus the all the booty that is stolen from the those who are terrorized by jihad. Maybe us women folk could participate. And Muhammad said, no, your jihad is to stay here focus on not being so repulsive. So that's the only reference that I'm aware of amongst the 30,000 mentions of jihad that could be considered anything other than fighting.
Ladies and gentlemen, please listen carefully to the following. To be able to indoctrinate any human being, to be so prepared as to willingly die for a belief, thus becoming a martyr shaheed, who would be rewarded with eternal sexual, sensual, and carnal pleasures in the afterlife, then in life on earth, in Muhammad's whorehouse version of paradise, should be considered among the most diabolical weapons of war ever conceived. Muhammad promised his followers two things. If they die fighting, mass slaughtering us, unbelievers, they go to the 72 virgins. But if they survive, they get the booty, they get the women, and they get the plunder. It's a win-win situation. That's why they fought to the death.
Unfortunately, it's actually a lose-lose situation, and it's lose-lose for everyone. Because those who die fighting jihad don't go to a paradise that is filled with perpetual virgins and rivers that flow with wine. They don't go there at all because Muhammad lied. So those who are killed, the martyrs, are going to be disappointed. They lost. Those they killed lost. And when you kill for plunder, when you kill to steal the possessions, the women so that you can rape them, the children so that you can enslave them, their property so that you can steal it, when you do that, you are corrupting yourselves. You are destroying that which others have built. That is also lose. It is lose, lose, lose as it relates to Islam. We're going to quote from the Quran and from the Hadith statements that Muhammad made regarding fighting, regarding jihad, when we return to Shattering Myths in a moment. There are many thousands of these, but it is important that you listen to those that we will cite. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Back in a moment.
Dwayne Daly.
After Shattering Myths, we are here with IQ Al-Rasuli. I am Yada. I'm going to read at the beginning of this segment four citations from the ninth surah of the Quran. The ninth surah is important because it was the second to last surah I allegedly handed down. That means that only the fifth surah could abrogate anything that is in the ninth surah, because the fifth was the last surah quoted by Muhammad. In it, Muhammad is not only justifying his raid of Mecca, his terrorist raid of Mecca, but is also justifying his desire to go out and kill Christians and raid Christians, rob them in the Byzantine Empire, because at this point he has overhunted Jews and has robbed and killed and raped every Jew within camel ride of Yathrib and Mecca. And so here are four citations from the ninth surah. Quran 9:88. The messenger and those who believe with him strive hard and fight with their wealth and their lives in Allah's cause. Quran 9:5. Fight and kill the disbelievers wherever you find them. Take them captive, harass them, lie in wait, and ambush them using every strategy of war. Quran 9:112. The believers fight in Allah's cause. They slay and are slain. They kill and are killed. Quran 9:29. Fight those who do not believe until all surrender, paying the protective tax in submission. Your turn, my friend IQ.
Well, before I start, in reality, there is no secular war in Muhammad and Islam.
Correct.
From the very beginning of Muhammad and Islamic polity, war and aggression were the means by which the Muhammad and his followers built up their empire. All of which religiously sanctioned by Muhammad and his alter ego Allah. Jihad is a perpetual holy duty of warring against all infidels. When you started just now, a few minutes ago, you mentioned four events that happened around the world. Each one of these events is act of jihad.
Mm-hmm.
Massacring other Muslims just because they are of a different sect is part and parcel of jihad.
Mm-hmm.
Each side of Islam, whether Shi'i or Sunni, consider the other side is an unbeliever, and hence they have the right to destroy them. And that is exactly what they're doing.
Correct.
So all we have around the world, all 99% of all acts of war and destruction are literally jihad acts. Because they are sanctioned by Muhammad and his Quran. Sahih al-Bukhari hadith 4.50, narrated by Anas bin Malik. The Prophet said, a single endeavor of fighting in Allah's cause, qital fi sabilillah, jihad, is better than the world and whatever is in it. Sahih Muslim. Now I'm choosing another author. Sahih Muslim hadith 4631 and 4626 by Abu Huraira. I heard Muhammad say, I love that I should be killed in Allah's cause, jihad. Then I should be resurrected back to life and be killed again in cause of Allah, jihad. So what do we have? We have a mindset which is religiously done. It's a religious act. It's an act which is commanded by Muhammad and Allah, their God. How else could they not do it? They have no choice in the matter. This is the only belief system in human existence, in recorded history, that is so abysmal, it is beneath contempt. There are no words in any language to describe Islam. Back to you, sir.
The reality is something that you mentioned, and I want to blend your words together. You spoke initially of 80% of the world's population being the enemies of Islam, those that Allah and Muhammad ordered Muslims to fight and kill. But the fact of the matter is that Muslims are actually the primary victims of jihad. Muslims killing Muslims is a far more prevalent situation than Muslims killing Christians, Jews, and others. So the fact is that Islam is a war against all humankind, including a war upon itself. I'm going to quote from Ishaq. Ishaq was the first to collect hadiths. Just like Muslim and Bukhari and Tabari, Ishaq is not an author. He is simply one that compiled. He gathered together the oral statements regarding Muhammad and his foundation of Islam. And this is now from Ishaq, page 325. Muslims, fight in Allah's cause. Stand firm and you will prosper. Help the Prophet. Obey him. Give him your allegiance and your religion will be victorious. Quran 8:39. Fight them until all opposition ends and all submit to Allah. Quran 8:39. So fight them until there is no more disbelief, no more non-Muslims, and all submit to the religion of Allah alone in the whole world. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Back in a moment. We're here with IQ Al Rasuli, who has written a series of books exposing Islam, lifting the veil, which you can buy at Amazon.com. And they reveal what Muhammad actually had to say about fighting, about jihad. This last comment that I read from the Quran is particularly interesting when it is juxtaposed against Ibn Ishaq's citation from Muhammad. IQ al-Rasuli has made the claim, and it is one that is probably the only rational and reasonable conclusion that can be made, that that the Quran is nothing more than Muhammad's delusional rantings, that the Quran was not inspired by any spirit, but is simply the revolting nature of Muhammad acting as if he were God, and that all of his statements are simply situational scriptures designed to satiate Muhammad's lust for sex, power, and money. So in this statement, we find an interesting marriage between Muhammad's words and the words found in the Quran. Ishaq records Muhammad saying, Muhammad said, fight them so that there is no more rebellion or religion, and all religion, all of it, is for Allah only. Allah must have no rivals. The Quran says, so fight them till there is no more disbelief, and all submit to the religion of Allah alone. They are exactly the same message, conveyed in almost identical words, and so it's just one more evidence that there is no distinction between the rantings of Muhammad and the rantings that we find in the Quran.
Sorry, my friend, Bukhari Hadith 9.549, read by Abu Huraira. Allah's Apostle said, Allah guarantees to the person who carries jihad, he will either admit him to paradise or return him with rewards of booty. Al-Muwatta, Hadith 21.42. The Messenger of Allah stimulated people for jihad and mentioned the Garden of Eden. One of his companions was eating some dates in his hand. This companion said to himself, am I so desirous of this world that I should sit until I finish it? He threw the food. He went, took his sword, and fought until he was slain. I want the American people, whoever is listening, to understand. These are standard, everyday human beings. But the minute they were indoctrinated by the belief of Islam, Mohammedan style, they turn into zombies, the living dead. They would prefer to die fighting fi sabilillah, for the cause of Allah, murdering innocent people than living life. Why don't they want to live life? Simple. Under Sharia, under Islam, anything that makes a human being happy is prohibited. For example, they cannot sing, not allowed.
Nope.
They cannot dance, not allowed. They cannot, recite poetry. They cannot wear gold. They cannot wear silk. They cannot read any other book except the Quran.
Yep.
They cannot drink. They cannot gamble. So what's left in life?
Well,
up to you, sir.
Yeah, this is a sad scenario, but the realization is that there are 30,000 commands to fight and to kill in Allah's cause in the Quran and Hadith. 30,000. We're going to share with you maybe a score of them. This from Quran 9:14. Fight them and Allah will punish them by your hands. Lay them low, cover them with shame, and He will help you over them. In other words, when you're killing, Allah is your helper. Ishaq, page 300. I am fighting in Allah's service. This is piety. This is a good deed. In Allah's war, I do not fear as others should, for this fighting is righteous. It is true. It is good. Ishaq 587. This is from Muhammad's initial companions. Our onslaught will not be a weak, faltering affair. We shall fight as long as we live. We shall fight you until you turn to Islam, humbly seeking refuge. We will fight not caring whom we meet. We will fight whether we destroy ancient holdings or newly gotten gains. We have mutilated every opponent. We have driven them violently before the command of Allah and Islam. We will fight until our religion is established, and we will plunder them, for they must suffer disgrace. Yahweh, in his Torah, said, you should not kill. Allah, in his Quran, said, you should kill. The message is the opposite. Is it not, my friend IQ?
It is, sir. Now, my question to you would be, if CARE is going to advertise whatever they said about jihad, we can advertise this particular verse also on the underground, or on the buses, or on the trains. We can fight them, and we can destroy them by using exactly their methodology.
Correct.
How could they refute what you just said? No human being can do that. They can't even dismiss it. It is impossible. we can do that, I mean, we, whoever is listening,
yes.
We should do that. We really should do that. Like what Pamela Geller is doing. Advertise
yes.
it. Put it on the wall.
Yes.
Let's
you know
see
what,
how CARE is going to take us to court. I wish they would.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I found interesting, IQ, is that with Prophet of Doom, as well as with your books, I only rely on the oldest Islamic sources to expose and condemn Islam. So the only thing, the only evidence that I deploy throughout Prophet of Doom is the Islamic sources themselves, the five oldest Islamic sources, the Quran and the Hadith. And so there is no way for a Muslim to refute the evidence marshaled in Prophet of Doom, because if they were to discount the evidence, they're discounting their own scripture. There is literally no way to refute the evidence that is contained in your books or in Prophet of Doom. Here's from Quran 865. O Prophet, urge the faithful to fight. If there are 20 among you with determination, they will vanquish 200. If there are 100, then they will slaughter 1,000 unbelievers. For the infidels are a people devoid of understanding.
I love that verse. Do you know why?
Why?
Because in the next day, Muhammad's supporters told him, how is it possible you could think of 10 of us, no, one of us fighting 10 infidels? Mm-hmm. The next day, another revelation came, reduce the 10-to-1 ratio to 2-to-1 ratio. That's why I love this verse.
Yeah, it a lot.
Abrogated the next day. This is in Allah.
Yes.
In Allah, his God didn't know that no human being, one person, can fight 10 at the same time. So he had to reduce it. Muslim Hadith 4:6-5. Muhammad said, anyone who cheerfully accepts Allah as his Lord, Islam as his religion, and Muhammad as his apostle is necessarily entitled to paradise. But a grade 100 times higher than this is jihad in the way of Allah, qital fi sabilillah. Let me explain it to the listeners. If anyone dies, or no, anyone accepts Islam cheerfully, he already is guaranteed paradise, Muhammad's whorehouse. But if he goes and fights and murders us unbelievers, his rewards are 100 times greater. So jihad is 100 times greater than a peaceful Muslim.
Yes.
There are no peaceful Muslims, ladies and gentlemen, believe
no.
it or not.
No.
There are no peaceful believing Muslims. They cannot be, because Allah is trusting. They cannot be, because the verses we are quoting tells us and them they cannot be. How much more can anybody prove to you?
Right.
I mean, these are the words. We're not taking them out of context. Anybody can go to the website and check our jihad. There are 3,200,000 pages in Google. You don't believe me? Click. Jihad, a check.
Yes.
Sahih al-Bukhari Hadith, 9.308, narrated by Anas. They said, oh Allah, the real goodness is the goodness of the hereafter. So please forgive the Ansar. Muhammad is saying that. So please forgive the Ansar and Muhajirin. These are his supporters. They, his supporters, replied, we are those who have given the pledge of allegiance to you, Muhammad, to observe jihad for as long as we remain alive. Ladies and gentlemen, what is ambiguous in what we are saying? I mean, what is it that you don't understand?
Let me give it to you.
How is it conceivable that anybody listening to us cannot understand what we're saying? Not you, sir.
Let me give it to you in very plain words. Quote, this is from Bukhari. Our prophet, the messenger of our Lord, ordered us to fight you until you worship Allah alone or pay us the jizya tribute tax in submission. Our prophet has informed us that our Lord says, whoever amongst us is killed as a martyr shall go to paradise to lead such a luxurious life as he has never seen, and whoever survives shall become your master. Not hard to figure that out, is there? That is what Muhammad said. That is what his pretend wannabe God had to say, is that the Lord of Islam, who is Satan, ordered Muslims to fight and kill until he, Satan, Allah, is the only spirit that is worshipped. And that those who surrender and are in submission will pay a tribute tax, the jizya tax. And those who are killed killing non-Muslims will go to paradise. And those who survive will become your master. Do you think that it is appropriate to be tolerant of Islam under these circumstances?
No.
What kind of a moron would put a coexist bumper sticker on the back of their car with the first letter being comprised of the symbol of Islam under these circumstances?
But they're doing it, and they're allowed to do it, and we are not fighting them properly. With all due respect to anybody listening, the unbelievers, are not fighting the believers properly. These verses that we are quoting should be plastered in every subway station, on every car. There are stickers. They can have stickers by the millions of them.
Jeez, yes.
They're not expensive. We should advertise these, because no one on earth can say you are being a racist. No one can even say you are wrong, because it's in chapter and verse from their own words.
Yeah. Do you want to know why Muhammad's followers are terrorists today? Why all Muslims, all good Muslims are terrorists? Now, you can be a bad Muslim and perhaps be a good person, but 100% of good Muslims are terrorists. Here's why. Bukhari, Allah's apostle said, I have been made victorious with terror. How about his God? Quran 8:12. This is allegedly Allah speaking. I shall terrorize the infidels, so wound their body and incapacitate them, because they oppose Allah and his apostle. Quran 8:57. If you gain mastery over them in battle, inflict such a defeat that would terrorize them, so that they would learn a lesson and be warned. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths, back with IQ Al-Rasuli in a moment.
We can.
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. I'm here with IQ Al-Rasuli. We're exposing what Muhammad and his Quran had to say about fighting in Allah's cause, about a jihad, about perpetrating terror on the world. If you're listening to this, and we're citing a score of verses out of some 30,000 that speak of killing in the name of Muhammad, in the name of Allah. If you can listen to this and not hate Muhammad, not hate Allah, not hate Islam, not want to rid the world of this deadly disease, then you are either irrational or immoral or both. Eshak 3:26, if you come upon them, deal so forcefully as to terrify those who would follow, so they may be warned. Make a severe example of them by terrorizing Allah's enemies. Quran 8:67, it is not fitting for any prophet to have prisoners until he has made a great slaughter in the land. Thank you.
Bukhari Hadith 4.248, narrated by Abdullah bin Amr. A man came to the Prophet asking his permission to take part in jihad. Muhammad asked him, are your parents alive? He replied in the affirmative. Muhammad said to him, then go for jihad for their sake. Sunan Abu Dawud, Hadith 2497. The Prophet said, he who does not join the warlike expedition jihad, or equip, or look well after warriors' families when they are away for jihad, Allah will put a sudden calamity on him. What this verse indicates is that every believing follower of Muhammad, outside or inside Dar al-Islam, such as in the United States of America, must either be an active jihadist or a subversive jihadist, aiding and abetting the active ones. In a nutshell, no believing follower of Muhammad, called Muslim, can ever be loyal citizen among the unbelieving kuffar in the United States of America or in any other non-Muslim country. They can either be traitors in action or traitors in waiting. Either way, they are traitors. Back to you, sir.
Ishaq, which was the only reasonable biography presented of Muhammad's words and deeds, the only one compiled within 200 years of his death. It reads, when the apostle descends upon your land, none of your people will be left when he leaves. Tabati, this is the first to write a history of Islam's formation, volume 9, page 42. We have been dealt a situation from which there is no escape. You have seen what Muhammad has done. Arabs have submitted to him, and we do not have the strength to fight. You know that no herd is safe from him, and no one dares go outside for fear of being terrorized by them. Ishaq 3:26, Allah said, no prophet before me took booty from his enemy nor prisoners for ransom. Muhammad said, I was made victorious with terror. The earth was made as a place for me to clean. I was given the most powerful words. Booty has been made lawful for me. I was given the power to intercede. These five privileges were awarded to no prophet before me.
Sahih al-Bukhari Hadith 4.73, narrated by Abdullah bin Auf. Allah's Apostle said, know that paradise is under the sheaths of swords. Ladies and gentlemen, in the belief system of Muhammadan Islam, the world is divided into two major parts. Dar al-Islam, which is the territories controlled by the Muslims, the peace territories, and Dar al-Harb, which is the territory of war. Any country outside Dar al-Islam, outside the 57 Muslim majority states in the world, every single country is called Dar al-Harb, the territory of war. That means we are to be plundered, to be subjected to terror, unless and until we convert to Islam, and we don't, to be exterminated. We can go on and on and on. I have, you know, we can go on for days doing this. The question is anybody listening who is grasping the magnitude of the depravities of this cult belief system and their God, Allah, who is about Muhammad?
Yes.
Allah is not God. Allah is Muhammad.
Yeah. You know, one of the tragedies here is that there are many belief systems. Like if someone chooses to be Buddhist, while it's a total waste of their lives, while they're squandering their life, their choice to be a Buddhist doesn't affect anyone else. But when someone surrenders to Allah, to Muhammad, and to Islam, they are indoctrinated so that their primary manifestation of their religion is to commit acts of terrorism, to fight and to kill. And so Islam is not like other religions in the sense that its primary manifestation is fighting, it's killing, it's murdering. This has been Shattering Myths. Join us again, this time next week.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity.